Welcome to Church of Glad Tidings Podcast. In this episode of Time to Roar, Pastor Dave sits down with Tina Peters and Charlita Bassett. They talk about their experiences in government and how they want to make things better. Please enjoy.
Hi there. This is Dave coming to you from the Church of Glad Tidings in Northern California. And we have two very, very special guests with us today. I love them both very much, and I'm thankful for them. I first want to just honor Charlita Bassett, who is running for the Senate position for the U.S. Senate for California. And that has been a stronghold of evil for many, many decades. And she's going to be our new senator. And I love her very, very much. We just did a fundraiser for her, and she was kind enough to invite to the fundraiser some old friends of mine, but she invited Tina Peters, and Tina's here with us today, and I said this when I introduced her, but I'm quite a outspoken guy, but when I saw her for the first time on TV, I said, I want to kiss that woman and tell her how proud we are of her. Yeah. And so I got to do that. Uh-huh. She's been with us here for Friday night for, it was a barn burner, Charlita's fundraiser, but I didn't know that she would be able to stay over. So she spoke at our Saturday night service and then again this morning. So, and you need to hear it. So go online and to the media and listen to Tina Peters for this weekend. But Tina, it's really, really wonderful to finally meet you and to have you here. And so welcome to Yuba Duba Doo, as we call it.
Thank you so much. It's such a blessing to be here.
Good.
Truly.
Charlita, how did you meet Tina?
I actually met Tina in August at the Reawaken Tour, Clay Clark's.
Okay.
And people were asking me if I was her sister on the elevator.
That's great.
So I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll be her sister.
That's great. So that was in Las Vegas? Was that the one? Or
It was either I think it was Las Vegas or Miami, but I think it's
Las Vegas.
Awesome. Well, we're happy to have you both. If you're from California, remember her beautiful face, her big smile, and her mission. Her mission is to bring righteousness back into the government of California. It's a big deal, and as we used to say in Idaho, it's last down, long yardage.
Yeah.
And so what we need is some divine intervention here. And I want to encourage you to pray for what I call a Mordecai moment. And that's a time where there is a major shift between the and the balance of power. And if you've never heard that term, Mordecai was a godly Jew in the days of the Persian Empire. He was the uncle of Esther, Queen Esther. And that whole story started by one righteous man saying, that is a stupid law. What the law was is that wicked Haman, an egomaniac, as most wicked politicians are.
Yes.
He said, when I walk into the room, everybody has to bow down and kiss the ground, and or they'll be executed. And you think that's stupid? We are at that level of stupid in America.
Yeah.
But anyway, one righteous man said, nah, I'm going to pass on that. I'm not going to bow down to any man. And so wicked Haman put a plan in place to not only kill Mordecai, but because of his extreme hatred, he said, I'm not just going to kill him. I'm going to find everybody he's related to and kill them. But God had a plan. And there was a beautiful niece that he had named Esther. And she won a beauty pageant, which either you ladies could do. And she became the queen of the Persian Empire. And she blew the whistle on all of that. And in a moment, all the evil that Haman had planned, in a moment, was turned around so significantly that Haman was executed on the gallows he built for Mordecai. And all of the wealth that he had stolen from the people of the kingdom was turned over to Esther. And it's one of the most beautiful stories in the Bible. That's where we get the Feast of Purim, the celebration that the righteous can't be put down. And that God will protect the righteous in the time of need. So I think both these women have an anointing, that Esther anointing, and that's to bring righteousness in to extremely troubled times and make a difference and really be protectors of the people of God. Yeah. So we honor both of you. But Tina, the first time I saw you, you were blowing the whistle on the corruption in Mesa, Colorado, and that's when I thought, I just want to hug the TV and hope she can feel it. But anyway, tell us a little bit about your story, whatever's on your heart.
Well, I'm so grateful. I'm grateful that God uses the least of us to, you know, as long as we're surrendered to Him. Yeah. And I wanted to step up and run for office and change the wait times of 3.5 hours in my county after surviving cancer.
And 2016. That's the wait time with people waiting for DMV?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Right. So
I wish you could change that in California.
Yeah, well, you never know what God might call me to do next.
True.
But in 2016, having been a cancer survivor, I had lung cancer, and I said, I want my life to mean more. And I stepped up to run for office, and I won, much to the chagrin of the evildoers.
Right.
And then turned out to be to find election fraud in these machines, and God just revealed it, just opened up what was going on, how the people were being cheated, and then literally all hell broke loose. And so they're trying to put me in prison right now. Yeah.
So Tina, just for the sake of those that don't know your story, could you just do the highlights, the headlines from, I was elected here, this happened here, this happened here, this happened here, to present? Just give us a run through of, because it's important, not just because it's your life, but it's important because it shows the colossal decay of governmental systems and the extreme evil of American bureaucracy.
Yes. You know, most people want to get into government. It's a cushy job, you know, with your 401A and all of this. I don't think they're really ready for someone that actually wanted to make a change. Mm-hmm. And so after I was elected, immediately I opened up offices to reduce wait times and things like that. 2020 election came and went. I did 7 elections. I was responsible for city, county, state, and federal elections. It came and went. There was talk about what was going on around the country, but I never expected it to be in our county, because traditionally we'd been a very conservative county. Unfortunately, people that weren't necessarily conservative would run as Republicans just to get elected.
Right.
And as we know, this isn't about Democrat and Republican. This is about traitors committing treasonous acts to take over our country. And so people kept coming to me, and that's what I believe, Pastor, is so important, is that the citizenship goes to their elected officials and brings them their redress of grievances while we still have the First Amendment.
Right.
But that's what they kept doing. And then the April 6, 2021 election came, and I said, there's no way these people won. They were, I call it the Biden basement syndrome, where they weren't visible, they weren't vocal, they weren't well loved or well known.
Right.
And they won over others.
Nothing about it made sense.
Nothing about it made sense. And Dominion and the Secretary of State, who's a very partisan person, was coming in to do what they called a software upgrade. And when I asked for transparency, they denied me that, and it started getting very suspicious. So I commissioned someone to come in and do a backup of our computer system.
God bless you for that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
National hero.
So it was interesting because we did a before they came image, which was perfectly legal, and then another image a copy, or like you would if you were going to back up your computer after they left. And when it was discovered what I'd done, they brought the full force of Merrick Garland and the corrupt government down on me.
Yeah. And what did they do to you? How'd that change your life?
Well, they first raided my office. Then they proceeded to kick me out of office unlawfully. You can't remove an elected official except for by a recall by the people that elected you. The FBI came on November 16th to raid my home, pre-dawn raid. And then the next day they went into the nursing home where my husband was there with Parkinson's and dementia, had him sign a divorce decree. I found out a month before our 35th wedding anniversary that I was divorced, all my veterans benefits, and then they took him away to another state.
And just to make it perfectly clear, they took advantage of his dementia and had him sign the form that he didn't realize what he was doing.
That's right.
That is so evil. That's just unspeakably evil.
That's right. I have an audio of him, because they had already stopped allowing me to see him. I have an audio of him on the phone with me saying, "Honey, I think I did something wrong." And I said, "What do you think you did?" He says, "Well, there were a lot of people here and I signed something." I said, "What do you think it was?" And he said, "I don't know, you know, get our attorneys." And then the DA actually prevented me, my attorney, from helping me, said that I was under investigation, not to help me.
Unbelievable. And that's happening not only in America, but Mesa County, Colorado. If it can happen there, where can't it happen?
Exactly.
It's absolutely unbelievable that they can manipulate and lie and violate the Constitution and break laws and have a free hall pass to do all that.
That's right. Well, you know, I've said if you're swayed by money, power, and position, or I've added another one, fear.
Yeah.
You know, there then you'll compromise.
Right.
And I was given outs to be able to denounce and repudiate and recant what I said about these elections or these machines need to be more transparent to the people.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that. I was approached by someone that had very high up contacts in the government that said they could make it go away for me. And I said, and they said, "You just have to lie." And I said, "I don't do that."
Wow.
And I just believe that, you know, what God leads you to, he'll see you through. And he's been very faithful.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
So what's happened since that time? They stole your position illegally. They first kidnapped and then killed your husband.
Yeah.
And kept you from him that whole time.
Right.
And then they just constantly bombarded you with evil write-ups about you that were unfair and spiteful. How many times do you think they've done that since this whole thing happened?
Well, just in my county were over 700 above the full front page articles lying about me.
That is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, and they try to, the mainstream media has their talking points. They try to make me out as a criminal when actually I was fulfilling my federal oath to preserve election records. Yeah. And every time I try to take that to the commissioners or to the DA, they came at me even more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. So, again, what has happened since then? Didn't you run for another office?
I did. So in February of 2022, so this happened in 2021. In February of 2022, I said, I've got to run for, I was going to run again for clerk. I said, I've got to go right to the belly of this beast.
I
ran for Secretary of State. I announced on Steve Bannon on Valentine's Day, February 14th, because I love the people.
That's awesome.
And, and so then the next month, the indictment came down, the seven felonies and three misdemeanor indictment came down. I was put in jail. And, you know, to me, that was such a wake-up call of how they can take someone that is totally innocent of any crime. I didn't have a parking ticket or a speeding ticket, anything.
Wow.
You know, I didn't, wow. It's not like I put on my bucket list at almost 70 years old that I was just going to go on this crime spree.
Right.
And they can just do this and put you in jail, and you have no freedom whatsoever. Wow. They tell you what to wear, where you're going to sleep. It was on a small little 1-inch cracked pad. No sheet, no pillows, none of that stuff on the concrete floor. There was water coming in and flowing into a drain with five other women and a toilet.
Wow.
And but God, yeah. Right? Yeah. God, you know, yeah. I had a visitation that next day. My dad died that night while I was in jail.
Oh,
and
goodness.
And they tried to intimidate me, tried to see if I wanted to watch a rape video, tried to give me an injection, things like that.
Goodness.
But God, I had a visitor. Mm-hmm. In the jail.
Amen.
That's awesome.
God's amazing.
So you got out of jail, and when was that? When did you get out of jail?
That was February. That was March 10th of 2022.
Yeah. Did they keep you on an ankle monitor for a while?
Well, I'm appealing that case. So there was another. They were trying to show that I was a habitual criminal. So they stalled a commissioner's hearing that said because they had accused me the day before of recording in a open WebEx meeting for the commissioners. I mean, for the courtroom, that I had recorded a court proceeding for my chief deputy, who they also took out of office so they could take over my office. And the next day, they stalled the commissioner's hearing just to go get, for 22 minutes, to go get a search warrant to take my iPad that they thought I'd recorded on. And
just for clarity, those were Republicans.
Yes, Republican commissioners.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
And actually, they didn't know they were on live mic. She put her hand over the mic and says she won't want to come back here after this. And the other commissioner said sacrificial lamb, like that.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you know, we're talking the depths of evil.
Yeah, that is the depths of evil.
Right. So they followed me from that commissioner's hearing after they got the go ahead that you can continue. The commissioner's meeting, because we just sat there for 22 minutes. Nobody knew what was going on. And me and some other supporters and citizens were redressing our grievances before the commissioners. We walked a block away, and that's when they descended. That's when the DA's investigators and the police descended on that coffee shop and handcuffed me. I thought they'd broken my wrist.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
The next day put me in jail.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's one thing to make a mistake. It's one thing to have a lack of character. But when you intentionally defraud people, when you violate one of the great commandments of God, do not bear false witness.
Amen.
Against somebody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when they do it callously and knowingly, that's just about as dark as it can get. That's about as evil as it can get.
Yeah.
And it's been happening a lot. The good news is he who sits in the heavens keeps pretty good track of those kind of things.
That's right.
And I know that your day is coming. But just bring us up to now. You got out of prison. What have
right.
you been doing?
So I've been fighting, literally fighting for my life. I had an attorney who was not good. Ended up having to fire him. We believe that he'd made a deal with the DA because he was representing a man with 26 pounds of fentanyl, and that man magically got off on probation.
Wow.
But they wanted to have me pay a $500,000 cash bond.
Did you say 20?
26 pounds.
Enough
to kill half the United States, yes.
Yeah. Wow.
And he got, this same DA, I was watching a news, I didn't watch the news but very often, but I was watching the news that night, and my attorney had said, I'll be right back, I got to go to the bathroom. Mm. And I saw on the broadcast that night, him and the DA were kind of glad handing it up,
wow.
you know, and that's
wow.
what, and God let me see that yeah. his intent was,
wow.
was evil to
wow.
to put me in prison.
Wow, I think of the prophets, when it talks about the declension of Israel just before the great dispersion, And by the way, if you're out there and you think somehow the United States will get a free hall pass because we're God's favorite nation, there is a favorite nation of God. It was called the apple of his eye, and it was the nation of Israel. Mm-hmm. But they were judged harshly because of the position they'd fallen from. God said, I was your husband. I took care of you. I was good to you. Right. And you disregarded me and served the idols. And so there's great judgment. Of course, we're praying in America that we're praying on the basis of the well-known passage, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and, drum roll please, turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. So we're trusting God for that and saying, God, in the time of judgment, because America's been under judgment for a while. We've become the laughingstock of the nations. We've lost our economic standing. Mm-hmm. It goes on and on and on. Our military is no longer a threat to many nations. And so we've fallen from grace. But we believe in the time of judgment that God will remember mercy. And so that's what we're praying into. But Tina Peters' life it's really the epitome. It epitomizes all the issues because it's not just a nice person. It's a very, very awesome, godly woman and a model citizen and someone that was actually a public servant. It's all the best.
Yeah.
And then you see all the very worst. Mm-hmm. And so really her life and testimony is just kind of encapsulates all the issues.
Yeah.
And I believe that God's going to turn things around. I think though you've done a great deal for the country, I think that your best times are just ahead.
Mm.
And we are just really, really honored to have you here,
Thank
Tina.
You.
Charlita, tell us where you're at in life and what God is doing and anything else you want to share.
I want to just, first of all, honor Tina because the Holy Spirit, when you have the Holy Spirit in you, it gives you discernment.
Yeah.
And so many people in government have not upheld their oath, which I feel is treason.
It is.
And
absolutely.
When you say you're going to defend your country against all enemies, foreign and domestic, we are being attacked from inside our country with our own money targeted right. against us. Which is what they've done to Tina. And so when I heard her story back when this started, I started following what was going on with her and praying over her. And it was such an inspirational story to hear the strength that only can come from
right.
God that
right.
she welcomed because she said, Lord, as your will, let
yeah.
it be done. And
yeah.
she wanted to be used by him, by the assignment he gave her when he created her in heaven.
Yeah.
And it's such a beautiful thing to watch, see someone stand in faith because they're throwing all of their darts at her. I mean, 700 articles, how desperate can you be, you losers?
That's desperate.
Seriously, I look at that and I actually laugh. How pathetic.
That
yeah.
is pathetic. And can you imagine that 700 articles is in what length of time?
That's just locally. And then I've been on,
national.
Jenna Griswold has, it's been on national news, CNN, MSNBC, on and on and on, accusing me of a security breach, which never happened.
Yeah.
There was just lies.
So, but in what length of time is that 700 articles? Because my point in saying that is to try to wrap your head around their priorities. Mm-hmm. Probably, is that in 3 years?
That was in just 2 years.
Two years.
As a matter of fact, I told the political reporter in in court one day. I said, you owe me some money.
increased your sales.
Yeah, I said, you know, you were going out of business. There was only 2 or 3 days a week that this newspaper was even being published. And I said, because of me, you guys have made a lot of money. I think I should get part of that. But
yeah,
God has given me such a sense of humor through all of that.
Yeah.
This, because I see that the plans of the wicked will not prosper.
Right.
And I can feel the presence of the Lord around me. I can feel the protection of the prayers, the angels.
Beautiful.
You know, and right now, you asked me as far as coming up to where we are now. So court is supposed to start. We're supposed to pick the jury on Thursday, the 8th of February. And then the court should start on the 9th with the jury being impaneled and opening arguments. And then the 12th through the 21st. But, you know, God is a God of suddenlies. So, so that's their plan. We'll see how that plays out. But just a few days. And I told you, you know, my attorney said, you need to rest. You need to stay home. Well, there is no rest, right? I mean, you know, we all have to stand up, and He'll give us the strength.
Right.
We don't. Right. I used to say, you can sleep when you're dead, right?
Yeah.
We don't even do that. Yeah. I mean, it's just.
Yeah.
And then JC said earlier today in your church, what'd she tell you?
Yeah, she told me that she used to say, "I'll sleep when I'm dead," or something like that.
And he said, "When you were not saved, you were dead.
Yeah, yeah.
You've already done that."
So if they got their way, they would put you away for how long?
The rest of my life, about 30 years.
The rest of your life,
mm-hmm.
for being a wonderful servant-hearted example of an American Christian patriot. Now going back to them really attacking you every day, that's the only way you can get 700 times in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But in Mesa, Colorado, if you line that up, the media coverage that would make that the most important issue to them, and then you looked at all the other things that desperately needed to be addressed, mm-hmm. in Mesa that were not being addressed, then it points out the same thing that we've all discovered in America. Everything's falling to hell in a handbasket,
yeah.
but all they care about is trying to eliminate Donald Trump,
yeah. mm-hmm.
as a presidential candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And people are just thinking like, hello, we have ruined our country by letting all of these foreign dissidents come in. The child trafficking is off the charts. On and on it goes. And that's all you can think about. What it shows you is a very clear picture that in a large part, both parties, it's not about serving any of the needs of the American people. It's about the bureaucracy of the swamp and maintaining their position in power. Now, it's a spirit of Antichrist. It might not be thought of as that, but the reason I say that is that's what the Pharisees said when they killed Christ.
Yes.
They didn't kill him because they didn't know who he was. They knew who he was, but they said, if we don't stop him, he will take away our position in the nation. And really, that's what we're facing.
God takes the things that are bad, though, and he uses them for good, like Tina's cancer and my cancer and my tumors and my mm-hmm. skull getting drilled on when mm-hmm. I was awake because they didn't have any surgery centers open. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, whatever, bring it on. This is just a shell.
Yeah.
They made a big mistake when they messed with women of God, because we aren't afraid about our body.
Right.
We're afraid of not fulfilling what God called us to do.
Yeah.
He is my master,
Come on, Shirley.
The government. And I just say to all of the government
mm-hmm.
that has been bought and paid for, we are coming for you because
you should be afraid
of the people and the name of Jesus stand stronger than you, and everything that Satan has done has fell apart. When they killed Jesus, it was used for good because he died for our sins, and his blood went into the soil. and his heart is broken by what you've done with your trafficking from this corrupt administration.
Yeah.
It will come back and you will reap what you sow.
Come on.
And I'm going to tell you, you have got, you will meet your maker, and you better come and fall on your face. And if you do not repent, you will have to do it before the throne room of God, and it will be too late.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right. Makes me
tell
so
us how you really feel about that, girl.
Oh, man. I just want to lay it out. It's,
come on.
It's not about politics.
That's right. Right.
It is 100% about good and evil.
Good
and
versus
when
evil.
They take a woman that's never had a speeding ticket or a parking
think
ticket,
about it.
Just like myself, wow. I never got one either.
I can't say
because
that, by the way.
I,
thank God for you ladies.
So it's like, how can you do that? It's like, because I actually respect the law.
Yeah.
Sorry. Repent.
But well, you know, and that's really interesting that you bring up the law, because we were talking, Pastor and I were talking on the way here to church,
mm-hmm. yeah.
about jury nullification.
Yeah.
You know, and about yeah. about
people if, don't know what that means.
If they're bad laws, the jury has the ability to not rule, to not follow the law, literally.
Right. And there is a huge amount of bad laws.
There are.
And you know, our forefathers saw this coming,
mm-hmm.
but they made statements like, I would much rather face the risk of a society in which there was too little law than too much law.
Yeah.
But what has happened is that little by little, we've given away our sovereignty
mm-hmm. That's right.
In so many ways. Let me just say it like this. Regardless of whether you think you should wear a seatbelt or whether you should wear a helmet when you ride a motorcycle, the simple truth is when we give in to those kind of things, it takes away our sovereignty.
That's right.
And so it's much better to live in a society where they say, if you don't wear a helmet on a motorcycle, your chances are 800 times more likely that you'll die of a head injury. All right, mm-hmm. Now that people know.
Then you have your choice.
Sort it out.
Mm-hmm.
We should be able to sort it out in lots and lots and lots of ways. But what happens is we have given up our rights a little at a time. And at this point, nobody has taken our rights. We have given them up. Mm-hmm. We say, okay, right. Well, we don't mind you. Okay, that you can mm-hmm. tell us what to do with our kids, blah, blah, blah. And pretty soon they say, oh, since you have allowed us to tell you what to yes. do with your kids, they're our kids now.
Mm.
And we will maim them physically if we want to. And if you get in the way, we'll make sure you never see your kids again. Now, again,
right.
There's a very real connection between those two things.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get to the place where we highly value human sovereignty yeah. and freedom
mm-hmm.
and not say, well, you know, I think it would be best for society to make sure that everybody has to go 55 on a highway, which, by the way, there are fewer accidents on the Autobahn in mm-hmm. Europe where there is no speed limit, and people come by doing 140 miles an hour.
Yeah.
But they have average lane, slow lane, very slow lane, and then they have kind of fast lane and like pedal to the metal,
yeah.
toe up, full twisted throttle, just do whatever you want.
Uh-huh.
They're fine,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So America, we have given up our sovereignty, and we need to take it back. We need to, first yeah. of all, we need to repent.
Yes.
Freedom is a gift of God.
Yes.
Yes.
And I'm reminded of the scriptures that say, having been free, why would you give up
entangled
your freedom?
But again, yeah.
but we've done that,
mm-hmm.
and we need to repent, and not only for giving up our own freedom, but for not being the salt and light of yeah. society. And what did Jesus say? If you're not going to be the salt, if you're not going to be the light, you are worthless.
That's right.
Yep.
Christ's words, not mine, yep. just a thought.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not going to be salt and light, right. you are not worth anything except to be thrown out and trodden under the feet of men. That's what happened in America. And again, we haven't been salt and light. We haven't stood up. We haven't showed up in the showdown. We haven't been counted. And so then we go into a pandemic mode. Mm-hmm. And the people who have been watching us hide our light under a bushel for decades decided you're not a factor in society. You're non-essential.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were crying about that. I frankly agreed with that in the case of most of the churches. I just thought, yeah, most churches aren't essential. Mm-hmm. Our church, I called our supervisor called me, said, you can't meet, you're non-essential. I said, who got to vote on that? Mm-hmm. I said, I say you're non-essential and we're very, very important. So we're staying open. You can close down if you want to. But anyway, the moral morass of our country, it didn't just mysteriously happen.
No.
We gave away our sovereign freedoms, and we need to take them back. We need to acknowledge our sin, and we need to show up in the showdown. Yeah. That's how I feel about that.
I agree.
On my campaigning in Southern California, it has been so shocking to have people be afraid of the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's like they're embarrassed of our Savior. Mm. And it's like, how dare you even think that I won't say that name because you want to play politics.
Right. Right.
I'm not playing politics. That seat doesn't belong to a Democrat and it doesn't belong to a Republican. It belongs to the people of the United States. And in the name of Jesus, God's going to be back in the house.
Yes.
And his holy anointing is going to pour down over this state. And so goes California, so goes the nation.
Right.
You will not cripple us. And I declare and decree we're taking back the seventh mountain of government.
Come on.
And we're going to be in the place that God designed us to be in, because I am not afraid of them. I am only afraid of God.
Right.
And my Savior says, step out, no fear, faith, and you choose courage.
Come on.
And I just will not bow down. And they really are annoyed that I filed right before the deadline. They want to say late. I wasn't late or I wouldn't be on the ballot. And I just keep saying, I'm God's secret weapon.
I was getting ready to say that. God's secret weapon.
Yeah, his timing's perfect. So I'm sorry that you've been campaigning for 2 years.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you, but too bad.
Yeah.
I jumped in 4 months before the primary election as well. And raised more money than all my opponents combined. So it's,
beautiful.
God's using mine different ways. So we've had every roadblock you could think of for deposits. We've even asked for a dollar. And I really think it's going to be like a loaf of bread and fishes. And God's going to just provide it as we need
come
it.
Come on, girl.
And it's going to be a big breakdown when they realize that all of their millions that they're spending at their mixers and their little campaign parties is a disgrace when the American people are suffering
like they are.
And they're giving away our VA money to people that are illegally crossing our borders, dragging people that do not want to come.
Right.
They're using those children and people as payment to a corrupt government that's using all our tax dollars to perpetrate crimes on us.
Right.
And it's like, I've had enough.
Mm-hmm.
We have got to protect the innocent. We've got to protect our veterans and give honor back where honor is due. Our police officers need to be restored, and the money that the Senate can divert from other things is so imperative that a U.S. senator is in that seat that cares about the people as a servant and not a politician. I do not care about the title. I seriously don't even want that title, but I do want that seat for the American people again.
Right. That's awesome, Charlita.
That's beautiful.
That's
beautiful.
Awesome. Well, these are exciting times and changes in the air. Mm-hmm. I think that the clear precedent from Scripture is that God, in his determination to be seen as God, he allows things to get pretty extreme before he steps in. And so I think of the story of Gideon. Gideon was overwhelmed when he said, when God said, take on the Midianites and I'll help you win. He thought the Midianites, they have camels without number. And so it was overwhelming to begin with. And then he mustered everybody he could. God said, way too many. Tell everybody who's fearful to go home, which was almost everybody.
Yeah.
And then they had 10,000 left. And he thought, this is, at this point, this is, we're into the column of ridiculosity. This is like, this can't happen.
That's right.
And then he said, check out how they drink and send everybody home that's not paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And they come out with 300 people. Then when we know it can't get any more ridiculous and lopsided, he says, have them all leave their weapons home and just take horns and torches. And out of that came a great victory for God.
That's yeah. right. That's when he's able to show his, because you know it's not by man.
Yes. No.
It's not by might,
no,
but it's by his spirit.
I'm convinced the 300 who stood and stayed there, there's only two options. Either they had incredible faith or they were suicidal. That's the only two options.
Right.
Right? Because nobody was thinking, Gideon, he's a clever boy. I would have never thought of leaving our weapons behind. How clever is that? You know, but all through scripture, you see the manifestation, the miraculous power of God is in and the point of urgent need.
Yes. Yes.
And we're there in America.
There. I believe it.
So, Charlita, how can people get a hold of you? How can they help? What can they do to obviously pray for you? But
yes, prayers. Prayers number one. I don't like asking for money. I know everyone's struggling, but even the people that hear the sound of my voice, $1. CharlitaBassett.com. That's CharlitaBassett Bassett, BASSETT.com. And if you're able to give $1, it adds up. If you're able to give more, that's such a blessing. But I just want you to know that it doesn't cost millions to run campaigns when God's favor's on you.
Right.
And I don't take that for granted. I'm humble. But I know that our state and our nation needs a mother's love that
right.
loves God more than herself.
Right.
My own children, a couple of them are afraid to be around me because of this choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I still stand on what God called me
to
do.
Come on, girl.
And I love my children very, very much. And I am fighting for their future and my grandchildren's future.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do it fearlessly because God asked me to, and I'll do my assignment well.
I know you will. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Tina, how can people contact you and be a part of your fight?
Mm-hmm. Well, just my name, TinaPeters.us. So if you just remember the United States, it's pretty easy, TinaPeters.us. And on there, there's the movie selection code. I just encourage people to share that to wake people up to what's going on.
Yeah.
It's my story. You might want to get some tissues, but it also has a lot of information in there that is done so well. That's another God story, how that movie even came to be. But the other thing is there's a magazine where I was honored to be on the cover in November, Capital Times magazine, that as a gift, people can, if they want to buy it, they can order it there. But if they would like to download it, there's a PDF they can download the 10, it's 100 pages of the story. And so I encourage people to share that.
Mm-hmm.
And then like Charlita, you know, there's so many people that are on the front line
mm-hmm.
that are fighting, and not everybody is chosen to do that. Some are chosen to give.
Right.
Some are chosen to pray. But don't just not do anything.
Right.
Because, you know, God's watching, and if you're faithful, he will be faithful to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just encourage, if God's calling you to run for office, if he's calling you to give, if he's calling you to stand up, tell the truth, to pass the information along, just do something.
Yeah.
And I won't back down. I won't give up.
Come on.
You know, this is a fight worth fighting. This is we are in the zero hour.
Yes, we are.
We have to stay single focused on getting Trump back in the White House.
Yeah.
You need to vote on the last day. You need, if you have a ballot that's mailed to you, you need to take it with you, but ask them to vote. I mean, ask, tell them when you arrive that you want to vote. If they say you've already voted,
don't surrender your ballot.
That's right. You need to say, I'm going to call law enforcement because I haven't voted. Someone's voted for me. Because if you vote right then and they've already said you voted, your ballot will be counted as a provisional ballot, and they'll take, they'll accept the first one in. So it's important that people know that. Vote on the last day. Don't vote early. And if you see something, say something, you know, if you're a whistleblower, I believe this is the year of the whistleblower.
Yeah,
I really
do.
And, you know, if you see something and you know something, God will protect you.
Yeah.
Be courageous. Yeah. You know, God will protect you. And you're, at the end of your life, you want to hear the words, right?
Well done,
my good and faithful servant.
Yeah. And that's really, you know, and he'll supply the rest. He'll supply your needs according to his riches and glory. Yes. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Well, I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for both of you ladies. You're both courageous. Courage should be a Christian virtue.
Yeah,
I think it is, which tells us that there are very few true Christians around. Mm-hmm. You can't really be filled with the spirit of the conquering Christ and be a coward. And by the way, cowards are left out of the New Jerusalem with the sorcerers and the effeminate.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hang with that lot. Hair up a little bit and trust God to help you be courageous. That's a command. Be strong and very courageous, because God's with us. And actually, those words are some of my favorite. Rock kasakamats. It means in Hebrew, be strong and courageous. And that should be a war cry for all of us, because there's a lot to get done. I want to thank you both for being here. Thank you both for being great examples of the believer. And let's trust God for a Mordecai moment and for a complete turnaround in these United States of America. Mm-hmm. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening and being a part of the conversation. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about what we're doing, please visit us at churchofgladtidings.com. There you can donate and find ways that you can serve. Thanks for listening, and God bless.